For June 8th, 2011, margarita plus whiskey equals margarita. It's video games, hot dog. Guys, do I put today's date or the release date on these when I say them?
It's unclear.
I'm Zach. I
don't remember.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
You know, I got a surprise for you guys. Good callback. So first I was really excited about this episode because of all of our exclusive hot E3 scoops. But
yeah.
Then I remember that we weren't journalists.
Yeah.
Fuck. We forgot to go to E3, guys.
Well, no, we decided to go to only conventions that don't have the letter E in them, like those novels that are written with no vowels.
Yeah. So E3 was right out.
Yeah. Those novels that are written with your bowels.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
they're written in the sinuses of your frat roommates.
All right.
I got us something for the studio table.
Oh.
Something for us to play
with.
Is it
an Oscar?
It's not.
Is it an ESPY?
What it is a not quite mint in box and yet
look at that.
Masters of the Universe Modulok figurine. Riff's pretty excited.
Well, so you forget that I see all the purchases that go through the PayPal.
Ah, you son of a bitch. This is what you get, man. When you're a grown-ass man, don't let another man have control of your affairs.
This is what you get for having me in charge of the PayPal business account.
This is what I'm saying, kids. Don't let another man handle your money.
Or your junk.
Or your junk, yeah.
No matter how into that he is. So how's your week been? You've been watching me order stuff and ruining all your surprises.
Sorry.
Fuck, that means I can never buy you anything for your birthday on eBay.
No. That is true.
Well, I just can't pay for it. It can't be a company expense. Modulok action figure. This is critical research material.
I know. Are you going to write it off? Because that's even awesomer.
I did write it off.
Sweet.
Yeah. Wow. I wrote down what I've been doing because I don't even remember.
Oh, like not even the list of video games that you've played, but what you've been doing.
Yeah, because this week, I don't even understand what happened this week. It seemed to go by so fast.
We had a barbecue.
We did. I had some swimming lessons at the barbecue.
I felt sorry for you.
Why?
Well, because I hated it when people told me how to swim.
Oh,
I was like, fuck you, I'm not going to learn anything.
Do you know how to swim now?
I don't.
Okay, so like I also listened to these advices and was like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
I tried to learn how to drink salt water through my nose.
Yeah?
Didn't learn that either. I didn't learn anything. It's a good thing you didn't come to this barbecue, Riff,
because
nobody learned anything.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew about its existence.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
I invited you. You said you didn't want to go.
Really? When?
When I said, hey, people are going to come over to hang out.
You did say people are coming over to put their balls in a vice.
Yeah.
You want to join us? And Riff said, no, I don't enjoy that kind of thing at all.
Yeah.
I don't know what you heard. I don't know what news groups you've been reading.
Yeah.
I don't know what
blog
posts of mine you've been... yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Kevin, do you have a list of things that you've been doing that you want to talk about?
Well, not exciting things. I mean, I got like... So flat tires on my bike are things that I have like dreaded since I moved out here, because like the roads are filled with thorns and glass and nails and tacks and all things
hobos.
Sharp and broccoli. Yeah, that too. When I got my bike, I got puncture-resistant tubes, which I then filled with this like self-sealing foam, and then got like Kevlar tire liners.
Tires were also made of stainless steel.
Yeah, and so I thought for sure that my tires were just never going to go flat again. And so earlier this week, the nozzle to my tire just fell out.
Oh.
The valve stem broke off.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I guess that's time to go get a new tire. So I was out without a bike for a couple of days over the weekend, which was annoying.
How did you manage, Kevin?
I had to use the company truck to get around instead of biking everywhere.
You just ran everywhere?
Yeah.
In your five-toed douchebag shoes?
I don't have any five-toed douchebag shoes.
This is the habitat of the rare five-toed douchebag.
There are a lot of people who wear those, whatever those are, glove shoes. The barefoot feeling things out here. It's strange, because you'd think that you wouldn't want to wear those in the desert.
You think you wouldn't want to wear those anywhere because you're not a douche. That's what I would think.
What you haven't even ever tried them, have you?
No.
So what?
Like, there's all kinds of douchey things that I haven't tried. Riff, have you ever tried them? I've also never tried Axe deodorant body spray.
I could not.
And it might be awesome. Right?
I could not handle those shoes. If I got like a hole in my sock and a toe pokes out, it drives me absolutely crazy.
I don't think you wear socks.
No, no. But when I do wear socks and that happens, it drives me nuts. So I imagine that the sensation of having separate compartments for each of my toes,
I see what you're saying,
would be a similar sensation.
There's also those like the footy, like the socks that have a
the glove socks,
yeah, that have a place for each of your toes.
They're always knitted and rainbow colored.
They tend to be
worn
yeah.
by heavy set girls.
Sometimes not so heavy set girls wear them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine those being kind of awkward.
I did see on the internet a pair of shoes that I was interested in that was supposed to...
Swiss Army shoes?
Well, they were, like, as close as possible...
Rocket pack shoes?
Not be wearing any shoes at all. They were... It was basically, like... It was like Emperor's a rubber sock shoes. With a Kevlar lining or something, just so that you could be walking around on the street and not get shit in your...
Sock.
In the soles of your feet, but to...
Oh, they're shit-proof.
Well, it's Kevlar, so I imagine,
huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think one of the properties of Kevlar, they were like, look, we need this to be waterproof and bulletproof, but if we're using it to handle poop, we need to really be able to feel the poop.
It's not knife-proof either, so if that Inuit guy made that shit knife, then you'd be doubly screwed.
That's well, true.
Wasn't that the slow shields or whatever from the Dune movie?
Yeah,
it was about slow poops.
Slow poops. Yep. Yeah, man, if you had one of those on and you tried to poop real fast, you were screwed.
The only thing that you can drink while you're wearing one of those is slow gin.
Yeah. and then besides that, those two things, the only interesting stuff that I did was like watch a lot of movies.
What kind of movies did you watch?
I watched The Orphanage, which was terrifying. I don't know if you've seen it.
Never heard of it.
It's a Spanish film, El Orfanato, that is like a thriller. It's like sort of supernatural.
So Michael Jackson turns into a zombie.
Yes. There were a bunch of Michael Jackson zombies in it.
Were there Draculas?
No. No. It's good. You should check it out. It's Guillermo del Toro produced it. He did not direct it. But it's got kind of a neat vibe to it.
There's a guy in Pittsburgh filmmakers named Jeff Monahan that is doing a slasher movie mm-hmm. soon, and my dad tried out for a role in it.
Oh yeah,
and was accepted. He does not know yet what role he got.
Huh.
It's probably some manner of elderly biker.
Hmm.
Like bicycler or
no, like,
motorcycle?
Like motorcycle dude.
Wow, huh. If your dad gets to wear sweet leather vests with chains and studded bracelets and stuff, do you think he gets to keep them?
I don't know. I
think so.
Do you think he has to buy his own wardrobe?
He might.
Do you think he has his own wardrobe?
He did say he went to the local Salvation Army or whatever and bought whatever approximation of motorcycle gear he could find for his interview.
His audition.
Yeah, audition.
Hmm. That's cool. And then I watched a bunch of documentaries.
Hmm.
Sorry.
Anything interesting?
Well, I watched Touching the Void, which is like a climbing movie. I don't know if I had watched that last week or not. That's kind of two guys went and climbed a mountain down in South America and then...
Ate each other?
No, one of them was left behind for dead and crawled his way down the mountain. Because he'd broken his leg. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I watched Beautiful Losers, which is like about a group of graffiti artists who sort of became mainstream artists.
I watch a lot of movies that I've never heard of.
And then I watched The Lottery, which is about charter schools in New York City.
Not and about Shirley Jackson.
Yeah, about the throwing rocks at you.
No. Why has everyone read that? Why?
I haven't read it.
You haven't read it?
You never read that?
No.
Seriously?
Huh. I only know about it.
I had to read it like two or three times in various English classes.
I had to look it up after there was some reference to it on The Simpsons.
I was under the impression that somehow that had just become standard curriculum fodder for every school everywhere. Because like, it seems like everybody has read it.
No. I read The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas by Ursula Le Guin.
Hmm. In a English class?
Ursula Jordi LaForge. It was in a college English class.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man in high school. I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah. It was boring.
I had to read a portrait of Thomas Kincaid as a young painter of light.
Portrait of Dorian Gray.
It was a picture of him and his eyes were glowing with that cottage lamplight.
That's creepy. Cottage cheese.
And it was dripping cottage cheese.
Yeah, wow, that's terrifying.
Hey, so have you guys been playing any video games?
Yeah, I've been playing a bunch of different video games.
What bunch of video games have you been playing, buddy?
I played a lot of Space Chem on Kevin's recommendation. I don't remember if you, when you were talking about it last week or the week before, did you mention the layeredness of it?
The layeredness.
Because that is what I found really fascinating about it. The way it's not like any given... Like, there are individual puzzles, but any given level contains multiple puzzles that are chained together.
I didn't get through the first 10 levels of the demo.
Oh, you didn't get very far? Okay.
So for
people that aren't familiar with it, the way this puzzle game works is you've got, say, for example, in your input box, you're given a nitrogen molecule, so two nitrogen atoms bonded together. And the goal for this puzzle is to program your two little Waldo arms to pick up this nitrogen molecule, split the bond into two separate atoms, and then maneuver those atoms to your output box and flush them away. And you're trying to do that as efficiently as possible. But in a given level, you're going to have more than one puzzle. So you've got this nitrogen puzzle, which is a single factory, but you've also got another factory that, for example, you're taking in the input, you're getting methane molecules and nitrogen atoms, and you have to split a hydrogen atom off of the methane and replace it with nitrogen and then move that new construction over to your output. But your factories are linked. So the nitrogen atoms that you're getting in your input in the methane factory are the same nitrogen atoms that you're putting in the output box in the nitrogen factory. So if your nitrogen factory operates very slowly, then your methane factory ends up waiting for the molecules to come in.
Oh, the whole game is sort of a single chain of puzzle.
Yeah. And
not the whole game, but like...
No, but every level, yeah.
Individual
so
level.
So the situation that I ran into is my nitrogen factory was operating too well and was producing too much nitrogen too quickly, so my methane factory couldn't use it all, and the pipes were backing up and breaking the system. So in order to solve this level, I had to go and resolve the nitrogen factory puzzle extremely inefficiently so that it would produce the nitrogen at a rate that the other factory could handle. I just thought that was really awesome, that the solution to this meta puzzle involved coming up with a solution for one of the individual puzzles that was inefficient and basically broken. So that was pretty sweet. And also the
and like they get more and more complicated.
Yeah, they
get
really complicated. Yeah, and they have at each level, it shows you a histogram of all the other players online.
You mean like when you get your ovaries removed?
Yeah, exactly like that. Is they show you.
You can take antihistograms,
yeah,
though, so you can be careful.
So that's like an abortion pill, right?
Yeah.
It's
the morning after antihistogram.
There is one level where I had to, I forget exactly what I had to do. I was like splitting nitrogen molecules and oxygen molecules and recombining them into NO molecules or something.
No molecules.
Yeah, no molecules at all. It's like that Japanese theater, except
right.
made out of molecules.
Sure.
And I was,
wait, isn't that Japanese theater made out of molecules, just like everything else?
No.
But it only gives you, I could see how to do this with four factories, but it only gives you three. And so I was working on it for like an hour before I finally got it to work. And then you complete the level and it shows you the statistics of all the other people that have done this level and how fast they did it and how many parts they did it in and how many factories they used. Somebody has solved this level with one goddamn factory, and
wow.
I have no idea how they did it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's interesting in that aspect, but it's sometimes that's disappointing because if you come up with what you think is a really good solution to this, and then you find out that 2/3 of the people that have played did it faster and more efficiently than you did, that's kind of a downer.
Yeah, but those two-thirds are total nerds.
But also on the flip side...
There are different axes of
if you manage to do it better than a lot of other people, then
maybe
that's
yours had
satisfying.
A cock and balls.
You can have a really...
I do tend to, yeah, try to configure all my robot arms so that they make cocks and balls.
You can have a really... really minimal solution that uses very little parts but takes a bunch of cycles.
Yeah.
And vice
takes
versa.
A long time, yeah.
And those are going to be on different ends of the spectrum, you know, potentially. So I feel like that's like looking at the chart is a little misleading because people probably either maximized one or the other,
That's true. That's true. But yeah, it's really good. It gets pretty hard pretty fast. But I think most of the stuff I've run into that has been stuff that I looked at and just had no idea whatsoever have been optional challenges. So it hasn't been too bad.
That's cool.
The other things I played, for the most part, I downloaded the Nintendo 3DS eShop finally came out. So I downloaded.
Did you buy Fable?
I did not buy eShop's Fable. I bought two sort of Metroidvania games. Except, well, okay, I bought Soul.
One of them was Metroid, and one of them was Castlevania.
I bought one called Soul of Darkness, which is by Gameloft, the guys that make a lot of games, expressly ripping off other games. Well, ripping off might be too harsh, but it's a pretty good Castlevania game. But I can't call it a Metroidvania because it's pretty much entirely linear.
You can't roll into a ball.
Yeah, no. And
so, you don't want the game to be too Metroidvania, because then it just thinks everything's about it.
Everything's what?
About it.
Oh.
Never mind. Go
what?
On.
Okay.
It's so
Metroid
vain.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Soul of Darkness, it's good if you like a Castlevania game.
Soul of Darkness.
Soul of Darkness on the eShop. And I also got Shantae Risky's Revenge, which is a sequel to, I think, a Game Boy Color game. But that's a proper Metroidvania, and it's pretty good. It's really beautiful. The graphics are really gorgeous.
Are they in three dimensions?
No. It's a leftover from the
What
DSi
happens
shop.
If you turn on the 3D for a game that doesn't have 3D?
Nothing.
Doesn't do anything?
No. In fact, there's a little light that lights up and says 3D when you have the option of using 3D. And if it doesn't, then that doesn't... I think the Switch probably doesn't do anything at all.
So you've spent a fair bit of time now with your 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel in terms of how to... Like the actual just physical playing with it compared to the DS and the DSi and the DS Lite and that kind of thing? Because you've had pretty much every iteration of the DS.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a DSi.
I skipped the DSi.
It's... The most noticeable improvement is the little analog stick. It is very, very nice.
Okay. It has a D-pad and an analog
stick. Other than that, it's about the same. Yeah, the D-pad's a little lower than on other things because you're using it for, like, menu switching and stuff like that. Instead of actual movement, you're using the stick for all of that.
Huh.
But the stick is really nice. It's got a really nice feel to it.
Okay. Because I know some people were saying that, like, they would probably... If they had to buy a single system now and it wasn't the 3DS, that they would actually go back to the DS Lite because the DSi didn't feel as good and just wasn't as...
I don't like the DSi as much as the DS Lite, yeah.
You know, and it has like more features because it's got the front-facing camera and it's got access to the wireless stuff.
Having the shop where you can buy stuff is cool, but it's not... The features aren't enough. One thing that drives me nuts about the DSi is... and this is stupid, but the menus, like the home screen menu stuff, is all fucking anti-aliased and blurry.
Are you sure it's not just in Japanese? Maybe you got like one that was directly from Japan.
Maybe I did.
Maybe your eyes are just unfocused and blurry.
Yeah,
perhaps your eyes are Japanese.
Probably both of those things. They're narrower than I have been.
I think that's probably the problem.
Kind of almond-shaped.
Have you been looking at it from the side?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, well, I want to be able to see the vaginas.
Right.
Yeah, forget it. I'm not even telling you guys my opinion, you jerks.
What are you talking about?
No, come on.
The shit's all blurry. It's all blurry and anti-aliased, and I hate it.
Huh. What is blurry, though?
Like, I'll show you. Just the shit on the screen is blurry. Like, instead of there being
show
a nice...
me, the listener.
Yes. Instead of, like, the things that you are selecting with your mouse cursor, your mouse cursor, you know, being, like, a rectangle made out of pixels, it's like a rounded rectangle that's blurry as shit. All the text is blurry as shit and illegible.
So you hate things that are anti-aliased in general?
I hate small text that is anti-aliased.
Okay.
Because it's blurry. I like the iPhone 4 because it is not anti-aliased. It's just black and white, and it's super crisp.
It's totally anti-aliased. The pixels are just so small you can't
see them. I think what
you have
is a Kindle.
What? No.
You've been making a lot of calls on your oversized phone.
Yeah. I was pretending it was the 80s, and I was insane. I was an insane homeless man trying to make calls using a book. Calling King Arthur. They told me this would take me to a dream world of magic.
I'm a Connecticut Yankee. Yeah, that's I don't understand your problem with pixels. Like,
I love them.
Yeah.
I just don't like them when they're blurry.
So what have you guys been playing?
The only game that I played outside the assignment this week was Creeper World 2. I played it from beginning to end.
That was also me. Go on, tell us how you feel.
That's not true at all. You played other games. Let's see here. So the first sort of criticism I had about it was I was wondering whether it needed to have a story or not. Like, it has a narrative, and I kind of felt like it almost just took away from the game because you had to click through this narrative like 20 times at the beginning of every level.
You could hit escape.
Yeah.
To skip it.
Yeah, but
you had to read it. Because it was there, you had to read it.
Yeah, that's
because it was there, I had to read it. It is god-awful.
It's really badly written.
Those guys, just stop. Just don't write. Write video games, don't write
it. Started
words.
Off being It started off being kind of okay, and then just got really, really bad by the end.
The story in Space Chem is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a fair bit of like flavor writing in there.
Yeah.
And I only read like a little bit of it because I only played through half the demo.
Was it written by Flavor Flav?
Yes.
You should get the full game. You would
love
it.
I think
if you make this factory well enough, you can use the output from this factory to make a sweet oversized clock to wear on a chain around your neck.
I put it in my wish list on Steam, and I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll wait until Christmas to see if it goes on sale.
Yeah.
Because I have so little time to play expansive games at this point.
You're just trying to trick some fan into buying it for you.
I don't have any Steam friends that aren't you two.
Well,
so. I don't think I have you in my Steam thing.
Oh!
I don't have any friends at all. Yeah,
do you?
Yeah.
I could swear I looked at the list the other day and didn't see you in there, and I was confused.
Maybe you just don't recognize his Steam name.
I don't. I'm not on Steam ever.
No.
Right, so like you wouldn't see me in your like active site. Well, I'm almost positive.
His Steam name is Mary Sue Pink Panties.
Now whoever actually has that name is going to get a lot of
inundated with friends requests. You know, I'm sure that a person with that name is already inundated with friends requests.
So that was my first thing. The game was fun. The difficulty curve was like sort of slow ramp up, and then it just like huge.
Yeah, the last five levels are fucking
nutso thing. They added a bunch of mechanics that kind of made it change the nature of the game a little bit. Like they have these drones which start coming out so quickly that it's kind of like a regular tower defense game where it's just wave after wave of things you have to kill, which was weird. I don't know.
It was nice in that instead of them getting more powerful, you just had to be able to hold them off until you could get up to the source that was emitting them and close it off.
I liked the way in which they have approached the notion of tower defense. It's fresh and it's fun and interesting, but the last couple of levels were just almost unbearable slogs. Did you finish the last level? You haven't finished the last level?
I did not finish the last level.
Yeah, it is hard.
I've made a bunch of progress. Like, I've gotten to the point where it's like, all right, if I had done things slightly differently, this would have worked.
You could have been a contender.
I could have been a contender.
Yeah.
But it's a good game. It's a good game, and I'd recommend that anybody play it.
Yeah, I am glad to give that guy some money to make more games.
We should have bought four of them.
Yes.
I don't think that was an option.
Multiplayer would be kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, if you had just different kinds of creep, like the two sort of creep emitters.
Yeah.
Huh. Because they clearly have the code for different kinds of creeper being. That's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah.
It could be a PvP thing.
Yeah.
Try and clear the other guy's creeper.
I think that's what he was suggesting. Cooperative would be kind of fun, too.
Cooperative would be a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that would be, because you could have, you could build these more expansive maps, and like the goal could just be to meet up, and that would be kind of interesting. Or the goal could be to like get to some third point, and you could try to do it individually, or you could try to help each other, and it'd be a lot easier if you helped each other or something, you know?
Yep.
That'd be, yeah, huh.
So if that guy's listening,
yeah,
do that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
They're talking about, I was reading in the forums, and he was talking about like patching. He was doing something like with the ability to suck good creeper back up into those makers, and trying to, he was putting it to a vote to the community as to how that would work.
Huh.
Like what would happen, whether it would convert it back to ore, or whether it would just put it into like a pot,
a holding
full
tank
of that you could dump it out of other creepers, up creeper makers, makers marks. I played some VelociSpider.
Yeah.
On the phone. Just a little, very straightforward shoot 'em up. Good pixel graphics.
Cool.
The individual pixels were visible, square. Made me happy.
So even on your phone, where you can't see the individual pixels, they faked it.
Yeah.
They up-resed, down-resed.
Riff, you told me that they released Legend of Zelda,
yep. Wind Waker of Ocarina. Yep.
Awakening.
On 3DS Shop.
I'm pretty stoked about that.
It's pretty
sweet.
I'm going
to buy that tonight and play it all night instead of hanging out with my girlfriend.
Yeah, that is, Link's Awakening is my favorite chapter in the Legend of Zelda series. I don't know for sure if that's just nostalgia talking, but after I have finished playing it again, I will know for sure.
You'll report back.
Yep.
I'm going to try that. I haven't played it. I've played it. I have not beaten it. I also haven't beaten Majora's Mask or Twilight Princess. Both of which, Majora's Mask, I was like, yeah. F this.
I never played Majora's Mask. I played Twilight Princess up to the gate of the last dungeon and then got distracted and never finished it.
What about Spirit Tracks?
Oh, yeah, I didn't play Spirit Tracks either.
I played that one.
Yeah,
because
I was
one,
like,
that was all right.
F this TBS, and by T I mean train, not tits.
Or I thought you might have been thought tedious.
F this T in the C, that's the caboose.
The train travel got to be obnoxious.
Yeah, I got really tired of doing that.
What is wrong with them?
I don't know.
What is wrong with them?
It was such a good game, except for that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Wind Waker was fine, except for, like, the fucking insufferable, tedious amounts of sailing that you had to do. Where it's like, fuck this game.
They're going to run out of modes of transportation. You know? They might go just have to do start doing spacewalks.
Legend of Zelda, sweet bicycle.
Biplane.
If you're riding a bicycle, you can turn.
You can, couldn't you turn?
You could turn
in
a sailboat.
Boat, yeah, you can't. And a train so much.
Oh, I mean, you could just put tracks everywhere.
You don't get to lay tracks.
How else are you supposed to run that train into the White House?
Yeah, it was just, man, it was like a good Zelda game periodically interrupted by a crappy on-rails shooter.
Yeah. Just a ton of train travel.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what we've been playing. Hey, Kevin, what's up with the world?
It's crazy.
It's messed up.
Did you guys see the new Apple headquarters that have been announced?
I heard about it. I haven't seen a picture or anything.
It's like a mile long saucer section of a spaceship. No, it's not. That's not really that big. But it is this massive sort of spaceship looking building.
Weird.
It just like, it looks like a huge circle. When did a circle turn into a spaceship?
It looks like a spaceship. It's like four stories tall and filled with drives and warp chambers,
crystals, and polarities,
and Heisenberg adjustments.
Yeah.
That guy named Heisenberg that works there is always adjusting.
I don't think it looks like a spaceship, guys.
You don't think it looks like a spaceship?
Do you think that everything that is a circle looks like a spaceship?
Yes.
Like,
you got
right.
Spaceship eyes.
Before we go any further, baby, do you have one of those little spaceships? No, I'm allergic. I'm allergic to
space
dilithium. It's just a circle. This seems like not.
The sun is a spaceship.
Sure. Earth is a spaceship.
Yep. See,
I got some change from a Coke machine, and it just gave me all these little spaceships.
Yep.
You guys want to play some spaceship ball later?
Ball?
Yeah. No, but it does look like a spaceship. It looks like one of those ones that you would spin to create gravity, and you'd live on the outside.
All right, guys, we're gonna go over to there's a three spaceship circus in town.
Yeah. Did you guys hear about the crazy coronal mass ejection that happened earlier this week?
That sounds dirty.
I know, man, right?
I drank 50 really Coronas gross. And I had this total mass injection, ejection all over this sorority girl's face.
That was cool.
Well, it was spring break. I mean, what do you want?
Huh?
I was in Havasu.
And then E3 was this week.
It's yep. still not over.
I know.
And
we don't have any hot scoops though. We don't have any.
Everything. All the new hardware has the worst names.
What? Yeah. So there's what, the Wii U.
The Wii U and the PS Vita.
Is it Vita or Vita? Vita? Like Vita? Velvita? Velvita?
I don't know, man. Stop naming things dumb names, guys.
So what is Vita? Is it the PSP?
It's the PSP with a touch screen.
The new and like PSP.
Yeah. Connectivity, like social connectivity or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Remember when things were named like the Atari Jaguar?
Well, wasn't the Wii originally the Revolution?
Yeah. I mean, well, it was their code name. I don't know if that
yeah,
was
but they could have just left it that, and it would have been awesome.
I would have rather the new Nintendo thing still been called the Nintendo Cafe or whatever their project name was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, that I would don't have know been that the names
Wii
of,
U.
What, I don't know that
what
the
does
names
that even,
of things were great
what does that
back
even
then.
Mean?
You know, I mean,
well, it's you know, it's like me and you, we and you.
Except spelled with a U, so you're like going to Wii University.
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, yeah.
Super Nintendo is pretty awesome.
That's a good name.
Yeah. But it was the Super NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, Super NES.
I mean, Atari was some Japanese bullshit. So
Atari?
Nintendo. Yeah.
What? Really?
Atari is some term in Go.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Is that where the name of the company comes from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, because that like the company that Nolan Bushnell formed after that when he was trying to be a smartass and like...
It was some other
something
Go
else.
Term.
Yeah, it was some other Go term about like have... Atari, huh? Well, checkmate.
Right.
Yeah, you know. You know, there's... I don't know
Kanji.
That, I don't know that names are...
Kodiak.
...worse than they were before.
Super Famicom.
Yeah, Famicom. Family computer.
Yeah.
And who knows what that was even
Coleco.
Called.
Coleco.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let's get a Connecticut Leather Company in television. Oh, that's an awesome name, guys. Why can't we have awesome names like Connecticut Leather Company?
Tandy.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was that with leather companies being all about?
I don't know.
I watched this kind of sad Chris Crawford presentation about the history of
Jump
games.
Jumps.
No, that was...
Sorry.
You're thinking of Chris Cornell from Soundgarden.
Right.
Yeah, it was another one of those GDC presentation things. It was it was linked to from Greg Costigan's Play This Thing blog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty regular reader of. We don't mm-hmm. Drop that
yep.
name very
it's
often.
It's in my RSS.
Yeah. What's in your RSS? Man, I want to fucking play Skyrim.
You want to kick some wolves in the face?
I want to kick a wolf in the fucking face.
I want to have a healing spell in one hand and then a healing spell in the other hand and cast them both at the same time to have a healing spell in the middle.
I want a farsight spell in the one hand and a frenzy spell in the other hand so I can make guys a mile away fight and then walk up there and stab the winner in the back.
Everybody though? Like couldn't you just like just manipulate everybody in the world to just fight each other and then you just beat
and
the
just
last
wander
guy.
Around and loot everything?
Yeah.
Seems like
I'd be down with that.
That seems
yeah.
like a reasonable play style.
Okay.
I would allow it.
Cool.
I'm going to allow this.
I saw the preview and it looked cool. Yeah. I mean,
couldn't get a good look at faces.
The one thing that I don't care about is dragons.
What?
I'm not really interested in fighting a dragon.
What about a skeleton dragon?
Okay, skeleton dragon, yeah, I'll fight that.
Cool.
I'd rather fight regular skeletons, but, you know, a skeleton dragon if I
in
have
a pinch,
to.
In a pinch you can do a skeleton dragon.
I mean, there better be skeletons. There better be some sweet skeleton tech.
There's some sweet skeletons and...
I mean, I'm talking like Ray
Harryhausen.
And
I'm hoping they figured out how to make faces.
I have not played
Harry and the
Henderson
any of the
Elder Scrolls games.
Skeleton technology, so. Guys. I want a Yeti skeleton. A Bigfoot. Harry and
you
the
wanna,
Hendersons
you
were Bigfoots, right?
You want a
no, they were Draculas.
St. Bernard skeleton?
Who's that?
I think that was the Beethoven movies.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not sure why I associate that with Harry and the Hendersons.
Would they have would it have like a
Marmaduke
skeletal
and the Hendersons.
Would it have a skeletal cask on its
Oh
thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, yeah, bone juice.
mm-hmm. bone pumpkins.
Drank a lot of Coronas. Filled the cask up with bone juice. I think the cask might have been one of my bros. I was pretty drunk. He was fat. He looked like a cask.
Cool. I saw a preview of a game called Ruin, which a friend of mine is the lead designer on. He works over at Idle Minds.
You know a lot of people that work at a lot of places.
I do somehow know a lot of like people in the game industry. I think it was just like by chance I like met all these people, either like friends from high school or college or whatever.
Some of them were accidentally your brother.
Yes. I don't have any brothers.
You were in a frat. You have like thousands of brothers.
Well, fraternity brothers, sure.
Yeah. I'm not talking about blood brothers. I'm talking about jerking off on a toast brothers.
One of the main guys from Spore went to my high school. He was like a year or two after.
Did you ever jerk off on a toast with him?
No.
Well, then you don't have the kind of connection that
I wasn't on the team.
the team. Our varsity. The soggy cracker
team. We had the varsity soggy cracker.
You almost made JV, but
yeah.
So would JV be a smaller cracker, or would it be a larger cracker because you're not as good?
Well, a larger cracker because that dilutes the
the sogginess.
Yeah,
So he's working on a game called Ruin, which sounds kind of interesting. It's going to be a game on the PS3 and the PS Vita, I guess, simultaneously. And it's like a action RPG where you're going around killing stuff. It looked kind of like a miniature Diablo kind of stuff. But then
I got a miniature Diablo for buying the special edition of Warcraft, World of Warcraft 1.
But you're a dude, not a demon dude. And you in addition to like leveling up and killing stuff, you also have a lair that you like build up and like build defenses in and stuff like that. And then it uses all the crazy social connectivity of the new PlayStation stuff to, you can then attack people. You get like paired up with people and then you are like rivals, and then you're supposed to go in and attack each other's lairs and stuff like that, which could be awesome or could be terrible. And until it comes out, I won't have any idea, but
that's an idea that everybody has and nobody has ever made a fun game out of.
I'm curious. My friend Chris has the right kind of sensibilities for this kind of thing, but I don't know how much actual influence he has.
Was he the one who walked away from Lego Universe in disgust?
Yeah, and I don't know what his particular issues was. He was a designer on Lego Universe, and
I was happy to hear that story. Like the story of somebody like saying, "Look, I would rather not have a job than put my name on this game."
Yeah.
Like, I wish more people were willing to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really scary. I think a lot of people are not willing to do that because,
I mean, a lot of people,
a paycheck
is
super important.
People don't want to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they'd rather lose their principles than their jobs.
Yeah.
Which happens, you know. Everybody becomes a wage slave.
Did you play Lego Universe?
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
It was pretty terrible, actually.
It was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
It sucks because it's such a, like, such good IP, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, the regular single-player Lego games are a lot of fun.
Which, I mean, they kind of made that in multiplayer, right?
Kind of.
Because it was multiplayer, it was real laggy.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, building stuff wasn't exactly, and, yeah, I don't know.
Fighting didn't work well.
What about all the cocks and balls, though?
That was the problem, right? Like, they, in a game where, like, you couldn't have, it is almost like no company could make a Minecraft MMO, right? Minecraft is fucking amazing and probably the most important thing, probably the most important video game short of maybe World of Warcraft in a decade.
Huh.
And
that's a big pronouncement.
No, it is. I don't know if I really believe it.
It's interesting, though. I mean, like, I'm super glad that it came around, and I'm super glad that we're around while it's in development and can talk about it and that kind of thing.
But I think that nobody who was, and this is weird because I don't really know where to make the distinction, right? Like, because he's independent, you know, he's made millions and millions and millions of dollars at this point. So, I mean, he's effectively become establishment, right? Like, whether he wanted to be or not. Are they now so big that they could not make another game like this and put it out there because some little kid might see something that somebody from the Something Awful forums made a cock and balls out of? I mean, at what point, like, so there's got to be a reason why Lego's lawyers won't let them. So Lego's lawyers, whoever's lawyers that run this thing, won't let people just build shit out of Legos and put it out there for people to see, right? Because they don't want a little kid to see some cock and balls.
A major distinction, though, is the server architecture. There is there's the centralized server, and then there's the you have to set up your own server kind of stuff going on, right? And like,
isn't that the
Napster defense?
If Mojang decided that they wanted to do a Minecraft MMO, if they wanted to do a centralized Minecraft server, I think they just would. I think they would just do it. And if somebody said, what about X, Y, and Z? They would say, fuck you, this is going to be awesome.
It would.
Maybe not. Imagine, I mean, they have a lawyer.
Can you imagine that? A single server with tens of thousands of people on it, or hundreds of thousands of people on it?
Everything would be on fire.
Well, no. What if it was large? What if it was super, super large? What if you got...
Yeah, it was crazy large. You'd have to set some... You'd set some rules about what could and couldn't be done.
Or maybe you don't, but maybe it's just so large that
no one can ever find anybody else's stuff to set on fire and build a big dick on.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you can link between your friends' locations on the world. I don't know. I mean, it could be freaking fascinating if you like
maybe you
could
can
set aside
set
like
out
you could build
borders.
Entire continents and stuff like that, and like like maybe political structures would
well no
it,
I was thinking if
stuff.
You
like that it could be really crazy
if you could claim a section of land as yours and then other people couldn't alter
or could only alter it according there. To your rules that you specify yeah. like,
or
that
could only alter
eventually.
It with dynamite.
Eventually everything is craters.
Well, I mean that has to happen eventually there has to be some kind of rule set that you can establish so that you can let like because right now you can't make like a what I really want is to be able to make an RPG in the Minecraft engine by building all of the terrain and shit, but then the only way you can have a locked door is if you make it so you can't just
dig
out the walls
door.
Around the door, right? Sure. So, like, and I feel
that
like...
That is planned. I think he's...
I mean, I feel like if he does some kind of adventure mode thing, like, then he has to make it so other people can make rules like that. Because there's some neat stuff, but they just rely on... And that's the thing, right? Like, anybody can download some, you know, Warcraft 3 map or whatever that's an RPG that somebody's made, and they
just
can open it
map.
In the editor, and, you know, like, oh, okay, I'm just going to write a version of this map where I have all the rewards to start with. Woo, I win! Right, but with Minecraft, it's like, well, no, the temptation is real for everyone who's playing it to just, you know, why don't I just dig through this thing, right? Where were we going with that?
That wouldn't be as big of a thing in Minecraft because there aren't any rewards to speak of.
No, but there will be, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, if I am really excited about the idea of being able to, in a world, build a video
in
game
a
for
world
to play. Yeah,
where
in a world where
Zach builds
super sweet island got
sweet.
Generated, you know, and I dug a hole in it and hid some treasure, and then put up a sign that said, "Hey, find my treasure, and I'll give you $1." Fuck, why did I agree to that? Can I borrow some money, guys? Yeah, so that's Ruin. What's Ruin about?
I think
you told me already.
Yeah.
You told us already, the listeners.
It's just fighting game with players.
And Stanley. Sweet segment, Stanley. What else we got going on? We got Legends of Zork finally...
biting the bullet, the dust. The dust
finally
bullet,
kicked,
bullet
the, dust. Kicked the farm.
Black powder.
Finally bought a bucket of farms.
That was another game that had tremendous potential that just squandered it.
Yeah, they had a good IP, they had good artists, they had a whole bunch of money behind them.
And then they made a terrible game.
Yeah, they made a game that was just not fun at all. But that didn't stop them from spending a tremendous amount of additional money. It's impossible.
Advertising it.
It's impossible not to talk about Kingdom of Loathing when we talk about Legends of Zork because, you know, when I heard about Legends of Zork, I was like, "Ah, oh, neat. This is like what we're doing, only it's what they would do with this if they had some money and some good IP."
There's a lot of things you could do if Legends of Zork had some money.
Yeah. But then it was just god-awful. Yeah. And I don't understand how it lasted as long as it did. And I...
It's only like 2 years or something, right?
It was more than that. I think it was 3 or 4.
Huh.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm misremembering. I mean, they had those fucking promotions at GameStop or whatever, which maybe that didn't cost them anything. I mean, maybe EA has some kind of deal.
DEAL?
Yeah, they have they have a deal with the Department of ATF, where every time an EA employee gets busted for illegal Cuban cigars, somebody has to pay for free advertising at GameStop.
And Angel gets its wings. Yeah. Didn't GameStop buy Kongregate or something?
Yeah.
So now there's like all these weird Kongregate cross promotions with GameStop?
I haven't noticed a real difference in the function of Kongregate since then.
No, me neither.
I mean, no more than the natural evolution of it would suggest should happen.
Sure, sure.
It's not as exciting to me as it used to be, but, you know, whatever.
That's just you getting bored with Flash games.
That's probably true. I mean, I don't know if there are as many things being said with Flash games now as there were 3 or 4 years ago.
I don't know if that's true.
It's just because we haven't started saying it yet.
I guess maybe that's
true. I think there are things being said with Flash games.
You think?
Yes.
Do you think that there are as many interesting and exciting Flash games that come out and appear on the front page of Kongregate in a month this year as there were 3 years ago? Because I don't.
I haven't been checking it as regularly, so I don't know.
Okay.
Is Sunny still on the front page of Kongregate?
Thank God, no.
Yeah, I don't know. That game was not very good.
No.
That game was a lot of money thrown at a game that was not very good.
Huh.
There was voice acting in it.
Oh, yeah.
There was... Yeah. That was a crazy high-budget Flash game, although we're learning what that means.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that's what's been up in the world.
Yeah. Hmm? I played that, the first Bart Bonte game that he made in...
Who?
Bart Bonte. He makes a bunch of games, a bunch of Escape the Room games and stuff. Like, I'm sure you've played some of his stuff, but he wanted to learn Unity, so he made a... He made a room escape. It was like a puzzle game in
Unity.
Is
that the one with every room has the number the hidden in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting.
It was okay.
Like, I played all the way through it, and I was like, you know, this is for somebody's first game that they made in an engine. Like, you know, there was a surprising amount of gameplay for a game that all it was moving around and looking around in 3D spaces.
Yeah.
Right? There was nothing to interact with except the locks, and you just had to find a 3-digit code. It wasn't hard. You know, there was nothing that... The last room was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, because it was just...
I was like, oh, man,
just a
this
number
looks
on
complicated.
The wall,
this looks really hard. And then, oh, no, the thing, it was just finding where the answer's written.
Yeah.
Down. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was weird. Huh. Spoilers. Don't go back in time and unlisten to that.
As I was going into the last room, I was thinking, you know, it would be funny if in this room the answer was just painted on the wall like it was in the first room, and I looked at it totally was.
I didn't think that. You're more in tune with that dude than I am. I forget what other specific games he's done. I know I've played some of them.
It is a name I vaguely remember, but
Unity seems to me to be the first plugin that I've had to download in a long time that seems to be becoming more ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And like, so that's something that's interesting, right? Unity, like as a platform, it seems like it's pretty easy to develop in.
Like, I was amazed. I downloaded the sort of dev kit thing, and I fucked around with it for like 20 minutes, and I made like a thing that you could walk around in with some textures on it. Hmm. Like, it was like, huh, that was surprisingly easy. Just using a lot of their wizards, and I made a sweet wizard game.
Yeah, the wizard. It's like, oh. Created a tower and a princess and a dragon and a wizard.
Yeah. And then cool. I changed it up. I fed it back into itself, so I made a wizard who the only spells that he could cast were to summon other wizards.
Oh, nice.
And then they could cast whatever spell he wanted. It's like, all right, I'm going to summon a fireball wizard and then tell him what to do. And if he doesn't do what you say, then you need to summon a mind control wizard and hope that he will do what you say so that he can control the mind of the fireball wizard.
Yeah, but if he doesn't do what you're going to say, then you don't even know what's going on anymore, because you might be controlled by the mind control wizard.
Well, it could be, I want to conjure a wizard who can only control the minds of wizards that are physically smaller than he is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so then you combine it with stacking.
But then he could get the fireball wizard to shoot fireballs at you, so you'd be fucked. Then you'd have to be like, fuck, shield wizard. Like, why can't I make wizards that can do more than one thing? But then if I did, it would get even more complicated.
Multi-wizard wizard.
All right, betrayal
Jack
wizard.
Of all wizards.
Oh, man, that was a terrible idea. Why did I summon the betrayal wizard? Murder wizard.
Rape wizard.
Oh,
blowing your wipe rape wizard.
that would be the title of this week's episode, I think. Blowing your rape wizard, if I wasn't pretty sure that would get us kicked off of iTunes. Hey, so we had an assignment.
Yeah.
We still have an assignment. This is a two-week assignment, so we don't have any new assignment to talk about. We didn't have anything to talk about when we went out to dinner. Usually what we do is argue about what the next assignment's going to be.
That's true. So this week's assignment and next week's assignment is Cleft of Dimensions, which is a MUD. You can find it at http://cod.mudmagic.com/. And it's playable either in a browser or in a downloadable client.
You can play it in a browser?
Yep.
I did not know you could play it in a browser.
Yep.
You could also play it via Telnet. I mean, I think it's...
It's much recommended to play it in, like, a client of some kind.
Yeah, that
client gives you all the noises.
Project Tuna client is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It's very colorful.
There's, like... every time I've logged on, there have been 11 to 17 people playing.
How do you know how many people are playing?
If you type who, you can see who they all are and what their classes are.
Okay.
You gotta either really pour through the help files, or you have to talk to dudes to really understand a lot of what was going on. I mean, I came in and you were like, I think I have some stuff I don't know, and I had to tell you what to type.
Yeah.
We've spent, I don't know, I've spent maybe 3 hours playing it. You've spent...
I played like two.
Well, do you have any such tips for
score?
Yeah, if you type score, then you get like your character sheet, and that is the only way, I think, to find out how much money you have.
Yeah.
There is a command called Wimpy, which... Yeah. You type Wimpy and then a number, and that sets a threshold for which you will automatically attempt to flee from combat if your hit points get below that level. Although the death penalty doesn't seem to have a whole lot.
Running away adds experience that you have to get to the next level.
Yeah, you lose some of your experience points.
Sure, yeah.
Can
you unlevel from that?
Oh, I don't know. You probably can.
Okay.
It's weird to see just in general, like, you know, because a MUD is the proto Ultima Online, is the proto EverQuest, is the proto World of Warcraft.
But this is a MUD that has been in development while all those have existed.
Do you think? How long has this one existed?
Well, I don't know, but it's not get froze development 8 years ago or something like that.
Well,
right?
sure.
So,
but I think the general software, like, MUDs, the existing MUDs, I think, tend to be born of families of MUD software that I don't know if they're still in really active development or not.
You don't think
you
can interbreed and get some sort of weird banjo fetish?
I think interbreeding would make that not happen. I think constant breeding with itself would make that happen.
Intrabreeding?
Yeah. Autoerotic reproduction.
Autoerotic.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might as well let them have fun.
Put a plastic bag over your head, and then there's another one of you.
Fill it with a baby.
Yes.
I have not played a ton. I played through the tutorial a couple of times because I made a couple different characters. And I was annoyed in the tutorial how leaving a room and then coming back to it would just completely reset the room. Like, it had no notion of state.
I did have to listen to the last NPC's speech twice about that.
Yeah. Why does
she high-fives you at the end?
Just because I thought it was so a text adventure is usually pretty good at keep remembering state, and then here you are in this MUD, which is supposed to be a text adventure with like persistent world.
Yeah, but how do you have a tutorial with a persistent world? I mean, I think a room in the tutorial, like,
I don't know, but I could imagine.
Like, if it's a tutorial, like, kill this monster, and then another player who's also creating his character right then comes in and kills the monster for you.
Here's a question. If somebody else, if I made a character and you made a character at the same time, would we be in the tutorial together?
I don't think so. I think
okay. So if that's not the case, then you should have a little instance tutorial situation, which should remember your freaking state. Right? That's what I was just annoyed, right? Because I was like, God.
I was mostly annoyed by the parser.
The parser is pretty obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious if you want it to be a thing that speaks English.
Tries to fill my water bottle at the fountain.
Fill bottle.
Did not work.
Okay.
Fill water bottle did not work. Fill watt, W-A-T, for some reason that worked because I abbreviated it. Like, I don't know. There were a bunch of things I tried. Fill bottle at fountain. I tried to open the bottle. It's not a thing you can open, even though it says it has a cork. Like just a ton of things that I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know?
I mean, it's not a text adventure. It's not...
Okay.
It's not IF.
Okay. You would think that it would be better than those.
Why would you think that it would be better
than those? Because it has more people playing it in real time and more people, like, you would think would be interested in making the parsers robust.
But it's not a commercial product that was sold, and it's not a thing that... I guess that's... It's weird that you... To me, it is weird to me that you would expect a MUD to be better than... Like... Okay, so would you expect the chat macro language in World of Warcraft to be more sophisticated than the parser of latter day Infocom games?
Maybe, I don't know. It depends on what you mean, right? Like, I can't use the chat macro system in World of Warcraft to move around the world, which is one of the basic things that you do in a text adventure, but I can use it to do a lot of crazy things that don't have any applicability to a text adventure, right? Like, you can do a lot with macros and nested commands and stuff like that in World of Warcraft.
Right, but you have to get the syntax exactly right or they don't know what you're doing. I mean, and it's...
Okay, sure, but that is not my primary interface with the world.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? And so for your primary interface with the world, do you kind of think you want it to be robust? You know, it's just an annoyance. I eventually figure out it, and it's my learning curve for their system, and it's just
playing this game, which is essentially playing something that is built on 20-year-old technology. Sure. And expecting it to be sophisticated seems like you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
And that is definitely my problem. You know, like I'm not suggesting that they need to take the game down and spend a year making the parser more robust or whatever, but it's just been annoying, like, figuring out the quirks of the system, right?
I wonder if you could build a MUD on Inform 7.
I doubt it.
The multiplayer aspect is pretty significant.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of world stuff going on behind the scenes. This excites me about the possibilities of MUDs. It makes me want to make a MUD. It doesn't really make me want to make a MUD.
The other anecdote of sort of annoying game logic was, like, I found a chest and I opened the chest and it said there are some bangles in the chest, and I was like, oh, look at the bangles. He's like, I don't see those things. And I'm like, look at bangles in chest. And it was like, oh, okay, now I can see them. Yeah. And I was like, okay, get bangles. I don't see what you're talking about.
Yeah, no.
Get bangles from chest. Okay, yeah. So I got them, and I was like, and then I looked at them again, and I was like, you know, I don't really want these. So I was like, put bangles in chest. There's no room. I was like, but... So now I have them. And I was like, fuck, now I'm a thief. Great, cool, right? Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was just like, it's just little things like that that were just like, seriously? How can you have an object in another object, take the object out, and then it be impossible?
Because it's not an object that's designed for people to put stuff in. It's an object that is designed to spawn bangles every once in a while so that people can find bangles in them and everybody gets their bangles. Like,
okay.
I feel like it should at least be as robust a parser and system as the old Scott Adams text adventures.
It is. I mean, this is such a weird objection for you guys to have to this.
I'm just talking about the problems that I've had with it. You know, it's just, it's weird.
Did you not read the help? I mean,
the help is pretty fucking minimal.
It
lists 12 different commands.
Like, when you, the first time you encounter something that you can get something out of, it tells you exactly how to format the command to get something out of something.
And I knew how to get something out of it. It also tells you how to put something in something. And so I tried to do what it told me to do, and it wouldn't let me. Right? Those are the things that are confusing to me.
I guess.
Right? Like, it told me how to put something in something else.
Does it bother you when you loot something from a corpse in World of Warcraft that you can't put that thing back on the corpse?
No.
Would it ever occur to you to be bothered by that?
No.
So why does this thing bother? Like,
it never says, here's how to put something in something else in World of Warcraft.
Did you find that blackberry bush?
Yes.
In Cleft of Dimensions? Did it piss you off that there wasn't room to put the blackberries back in the blackberry bush?
No, but it's a fucking chest.
Yeah, blackberry bushes don't work that way, and chests do.
But, I mean, monsters do, too. Why couldn't you put something back in the monster's pocket that you found in the...
If they hadn't told me how to
do something weird and counterintuitive, and then you get pissed off when it doesn't work.
Putting something in a chest is not counterintuitive.
Yes, it is. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, if it is not a chest in your house that is designed to store your shit, putting something in, like, going out into the world, finding some treasure in a chest, and then putting the treasure back in the chest is totally counterintuitive.
Okay.
I bet that 999 out of 1,000 people would never occur to them to do that.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. There's no room for it.
Anyway. There is, that's the, like, if it said you can't do that, that would have honestly been fine. Saying there's no room for it made me angry.
Okay.
Because it's just like, Yeah, like
I don't know who made. I don't know who made this thing. Like, it is my understanding from reading, like, you know, a little bit of stuff on the forums here and there, is that the people who were working on this have kind of stepped away from it, and so it's just sort of sitting in this kind of limbo state. There is a dearth of content.
I am finding it very grindy.
Yeah,
I'm level five.
You get some,
and I have killed.
You create five or six different kinds of monsters,
but I've killed like 50 of each of them.
You also, the more kinds of monsters you kill, like. Every blue imp you kill is worth fewer experience points than the previous one.
Okay.
So you gotta move around and kill. Like, you will level up faster if you go around and kill a variety of things.
Sure.
Which I like. I think that's interesting.
I think that's a good mechanic.
We should rip off that mechanic.
Huh.
See, that's a joke because we already did.
Kind of.
For this one thing. Kind of. That we did. That we're working on. That you'll see.
In a couple years.
2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you create a character, you get some quests.
And those quests are too hard for you to complete for the next couple of hours.
Yeah.
Like, which, what the fuck?
Like, you have a quest to kill a dude that, oh, by the way, in order to get strong enough to kill this dude, you are probably going to have to kill 400 other dudes.
Yeah.
Like, not exaggerating. Like, I think probably 400 other dudes.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm exaggerating.
I have played 2 hours, and I am definitely not strong enough to kill that guy, and that is the first quest you can get.
Yeah. Wow.
One of the first quests you can get. I think the game has a level cap of 50, and the quest that you get at level 1, I don't think that I'm powerful enough to beat any of the main bosses of them at level 10. So... It's
questionable design in that regard,
which, you know, maybe the people who were working on this more concerned with the theme than the design. You know what I found really satisfying was finding a fucking block with a question mark on it, and I said punch block, and it was like, you get a mushroom, buddy.
I tried jump, that didn't work. I tried hit block, that didn't work, and I'm like, fuck, like, how many different, like, verbs am I gonna have to do here?
I just got it right on the first try, and it never occurred to me to get angry at it. What is wrong with you?
Like,
what's wrong with you?
I know what Mario does to blocks, apparently, is what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Huh.
You can hit the block with a fucking turtle in the game, and they'll go, right? Like, you don't
have to.
So
did you think you needed
them.
To go find a player who was a Koopa?
No.
And stomp on them and then kick them into the block?
It's just...
You can't do that to blocks that are in the air. You know what you do to blocks that are in the air?
Hit does not work.
You punch them.
Hit does not work. Okay, because punch and hit are two fundamentally different things.
Punch is with your hands. Hit is with your weapon.
Oh, my God. What if I was unarmed?
I'm just saying. I mean, if your hands are registered in the state of California as deadly weapons, then that's one thing, right?
But no, they're not. I don't think a karate chop would work on a corn block.
You got to punch it.
Yeah.
If there was a candle floating there and you were carrying a whip, what would be the verb that you would choose?
I would
slap
punch.
Candle. Swat candle.
I would probably
whip.
Do hit candle flail. And it would probably not work.
That would probably work.
No, it probably wouldn't.
Swing whip towards candle.
Yeah. I'm going to give it another week worth of play, but Jesus. Like, there are definitely things that I find annoying.
There was a sweet hidden bit with the where you have to find the asshole children.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
It's hard. You won't be able to beat them.
That's why I've avoided trying to fuck around with that yet.
It seems to be a good game for AFK leveling. Like, you can get in a group with somebody and you'll just follow them around and get into combat with whatever they start a fight with. And as long as they don't get you killed, you just keep getting experience. You just walk away. Thanks, guys. Thanks for giving me a portion of your experience. Thanks for breaking my cat lamp.
So yeah, so that's this week's and next week's assignment.
Yeah, next week's assignment is
still Cleft of Dimensions.
Still available online at cleftofdimensions.overthinkingit.com. Yeah, so short assignment section, bro.
Yep.
Thanks, Daniel. Hey guys, you want to do some reader mails?
Sure.
We took a little puzzle break. How'd you do?
Well, so I know some of you are seriously concerned about my ability to record this podcast and to do a timely solve of the Master Theorem puzzle. So we actually took a break for me to try to get in there first, and I got 9th out of the solvers, which is not bad.
Cool.
How many people solve one of those in general? 700,000.
No, it's so last week's was solved by like 1,500 people, and the week before that was like 2,000, and the week before that was like 2,300.
Number 9 is okay.
So, yeah, it's all right.
That's pretty impressive, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that many people are looking at it right away. So, you know, there are probably 20 people that looked at it right away, so I probably was middle of the pack. But that's fine. So it's the first time that I've actually tried to do it quickly. And, you know, if you solve it less than 5 minutes, you get the most possible points.
How long did it take you?
2 minutes.
Nice.
So.
Sweet solving, bro.
Thanks.
So, I don't know. There's forums, there's Twitters, there's emails. I don't even know, man. Twitter questions, a few of them. Office Troll writes, have you played Puzzle Strike yet? It's a Dominion-like card game with design help from the designer of Puzzle Fighter. And then he writes, are you aware of other video game designers who've had board/card games published? Actually worked on game, no Sid Meier's.
Did Sid Meier have nothing to do with the board game?
With Sid Meier's Civilization, board game? I have no idea. I don't think Sid Meier had much to do with the last Civilization game.
Was it still called Sid Meier's Civilization?
I don't remember.
I think it was just called Civilization
5. I actually bought Puzzle Strike without knowing anything about it, except that it was designed by David Serlin. I don't know how much he actually had to do with it, but that's the guy that he's talking about. He had something to do with some Street Fighter stuff at some point, I think, and...
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. His blog is on a list of things that I read every few months, because it's not in general... Like, he focuses really heavily on, like, competitive player versus player stuff, which is not really the kind of thing that I'm super interested in. Should be. I should learn things about that. Puzzle Fighter is okay. I wish it was just a fucking card game, because those chips are kind of a hassle.
The Pogs are annoying, but they're also different and interesting, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much like Puzzle Fighter, the board game, right? Like, there are some really weird conceits to the kind of general rules of play.
It's a little weird that you just attack the person next in line, always. Because, like, you can't really attack back if you're playing in a large group.
I found, though, that when I, like, in all of the multiplayer variants of Magic, the ones that I found the most fun were the ones where you were restricted in the number of people that you could attack. Like, the free-for-alls were never particularly interesting to me.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a fun game.
I've played it maybe half a dozen times.
That guy's a smart guy.
It does seem like there are, what, a dozen different characters that you can be or something like that? 10 different characters that you can be? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are fun to play. There's a couple that seem that either the strategy for playing them is not obvious, and so they're not quite as fun, or we're just playing them wrong or something. I don't know. Like the one that's like the gambling one.
The drunk panda guy?
Yeah.
It starts with some money instead of an ability.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. Yeah. I never had much luck playing that, dude. Soren Trigg wrote, System Shock 2, thoughts? I wish that it would reliably run on modern hardware.
I wish
so
I could play it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched an LP of it. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah? I really want to play it. I mean, I feel like it would make me happy in the way that Deus Ex made me happy.
Yeah. Or in the way Marathon 2 made me happy.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
Well, you don't have the nostalgia for the Marathon series that I do.
Yeah, that's true. I had a laptop that would run System Shock 2. I borrowed it from a buddy of mine. I still have the original disc. I should give that back to him.
Should we see if we can try to get it to run and do it as an assignment some week?
I would want to verify that we could run
sure,
it.
Sure, that's what I mean.
I mean, it depends on, like, what's the value of the assignments. Is it to give us something to talk about, or is it to give us something to play with our listeners? Right? So if it's something that it's a real pain in the ass to get running, I wouldn't want to necessarily... You know.
So you go to some computer museum, you break in at night.
Xtanstic wrote, hey guys, have you gotten Dungeon Keeper from goodoldgames.com? Future assignment, perhaps? So one problem with you homos, I'm sorry, you one homo and one bisexual, is that you guys use goddamn Macintoshes like sissies, so you can't run most games. Most video games are things that you can't play.
I've got Parallels, so I could try to do it in Windows XP.
Here's what I should do.
You could buy me a copy of Windows.
I could buy a couple of Alienware rigs to play games on, to just set up here in the office.
Huh.
Because you want us to be that much less productive.
Well, theoretically, you already spend a fixed amount of time playing the assignment. All this does is it frees us up to do more different things with the assignment.
That said, you know, I think it is entirely possible that every single person who listens to a podcast owns a Macintosh.
I don't think that's fair to say at all.
You own a Macintosh?
I really want to keep...
It's in the garage.
I threw it away.
It's in the garage.
What is?
Your Macintosh that you own.
It doesn't work.
It's in the garage.
It's garbage.
Own it.
It is a paper. It is a Macintosh paperweight. I couldn't even play Minesweeper or whatever fag version of Minesweeper Steve Jobs puts on his computer.
You could play Frisbee.
Dong sweeper? Is it like, look, click on this to see how many sailor dongs are nearby for you to wrap your lips around. That's what that game is about on the Mac.
Wow. Phil Collins Minesweeper.
Steve Jobs looks like a skeleton. I watched that city council meeting.
He's not doing well.
Yeah. That's going to make me sad.
Yeah.
When that guy perishes.
I hope he's trained his replacement well.
Well, I mean, what I hope is that they've developed some sort of secret regrowth chemical that there's just going to... What, man, if skeleton Steve Jobs came back and was like, hey, guys, I'm in charge of Apple and also everything else, I would just willingly submit.
Yeah.
I would willingly submit to that dude's rule.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah. All right, you know what? I'm guessing that you could probably defeat Obama in single combat. And as far as I'm concerned, those are the rules. That puts you in charge.
Huh.
Especially if he offered you a sweet sword.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, would I have to defeat him to get the sweet sword? Because that's the only way that I really
like
that.
That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you defeat him with kindness.
Oh.
I think Modulok could be able to defeat him.
Yeah, I bet Modulok. I mean, if Modulok could actually hold two guns at once, Modulok...
If we could distract him from making out with himself.
Yeah, Modulok right now is having some autoerotic dual-wield pistol fun. Oh, man.
He needs a second torso.
That's like a new... It's instead of making the beast with two backs, that's the gay gamer. They're off dual-wielding pistols. Yeah.
Huh.
Dungeon Keeper. Have you guys played it?
No.
I mean, I remember watching some friends play it when it very first came out, but I never played it myself.
It fails on some levels, I think. Dungeon Keeper 2 was better, but still not great. I really want a game where you make a dungeon and some dudes come in and then your dungeon is,
you know,
your character.
Dungeon Keeper is the, okay, not having played it, it sounds like a really early version of a tower defense game.
Yeah,
it is.
Isn't quite as satisfying as building a dungeon. So
there was
maybe
a new game that came out recently that was supposed to be the spiritual successor to Dungeon Keeper, which was called like Dungeon or Dungeons with an exclamation point. Or Dungeons? With an exclamation point and a question mark. But it ended up just being a game
about... I thought that was also just a dumbed-down Dwarf Fortress.
Like a dude... No, it's a dumbed-down Dungeon Fortress. You were a dude, and mostly what you had to do was run your guy around and kill the people that were coming into your dungeons. Like, what the fuck am I doing in this dungeon that I built? Why did I build this if I have to go do everything myself? What is up with these minions that aren't doing what I tell them to do, which is kill these jerks that are coming in here trying to rescue the princess I kidnapped?
Would you want to have a game where, like, adventurers start trying to get into your dungeon, and, you know, below where they're working, you've got your, like, orcs, like, digging additional rooms and, like, setting traps up and stuff like that? Or do you want to have it, like, you have, like, a creator and you just do it sort of very abstractly and then they play through and see how far they get?
The latter. I would not want to have to deal with the attacks in real time.
Huh. Because I could see both being kind of cool, but I don't know.
I mean, I would play a game where you built a dungeon, and then it just told you a story about what happened in your dungeon, and this is how it got left over, you know, like, and all right, time for your next infusion of cash to try and make your dungeon better this time, and you don't get to go on to the second level dungeon until you actually manage to kill one of these douchey paladins that keeps waltzing in here and murdering all your goblins. Like,
good thing those goblins breed, like, rabbits.
Yeah. That said,
in some cases with rabbits.
Yes.
The first game that you described sounds pretty fun too, where you build a level and then you go down and the adventurers can't figure out how to get down until you actually build the stairs, right? But you've got your dudes, you're trying to build the next level, and the success of your earlier levels, you know, determines how many resources you get to build stuff in your later levels.
It seems like it would not be hard to make the game that you described.
It seems like it wouldn't be, but I feel like that is an idea that everybody has, and yet no one has made a successful,
compelling one
version
yeah.
of it yet.
It does seem tough, and that's why I'm a little worried about the whole ruin, like
Dungeon Lords
layer building
is ostensibly a board game version of that. I don't think it's fun.
I like it a lot. I think it's fun. It's a lot of math.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of... It had too much analysis paralysis for me.
Agricola is better because you make a sweet farm.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get your love affair with Agricola.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a fun game, and I like it way better having now played it with like four people instead of just two. But
it's the best game. It's the best board game.
It's
I want
okay.
an iPad version of it that you play on iPhones so that I don't have to set the game up every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's we need to figure out that technology and then just make a bunch of games that do that. And
we need venture
make
capital.
Billions of dollars.
No, we don't. We need a heart and a brain and to find our
and
way
home. And a scarecrow.
Yeah, we need a scarecrow to put the brain in.
10 man for the heart.
Tienze says, considering I'm drinking right now, what are the best and worst games to play drunk? Every game you can play drunk.
Rez, although that might just be good on acid.
Rez is that game you play where it's one end of it is connected to a dildo that's in your girlfriend.
What about Rock Band?
Rock Band is fun to play drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched you playing some Rock Band this weekend, and you were playing some crazy Pro Keys things, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that was one of those times where I think you looked at what was going on and thought, what the fuck? There's no way that any person could...
Yeah.
I might as well have been a Japanese kid.
Exactly.
As far as you were concerned. It's frustrating to me. I don't like playing Rock Band with an instrument that I don't know very well in a group setting. Because
you feel like you're letting people down.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, if it's like, well, I want to challenge myself and I want to get better at this, so I want to pick like the hardest difficulty that I think I might be able to pull off. But then if you're playing it with a bunch of other people,
right.
You fuck up and the song starts over. You're like, sorry, sorry, sorry. And then you're thinking, well,
they can save you and stuff.
I wasn't pissed off at the bass player when this happened before.
Yep.
You can just pause and change the difficulty, which fucks up everybody else's groove, but whatever, they're drunk. Anyway, and plus, it's my house, so if you don't like it, you can go buy your own goddamn Xbox 360 and Rock Band setup and house and have me over. Invite me over. Why don't you ever invite me over, you jerk?
Because he's drunk.
Yeah. They don't want me to drive.
That's true.
Data Vortex says, please share your thoughts about the new Battlestar Galactica Online MMO. Thanks. Have you played it?
Not even heard of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's an in-browser, flying around spaceships, shooting shit.
In browser, like HTML5 kind of thing?
I don't know what it's in. It might be in Unity.
Huh.
I don't know what it is, but it's got some kind of shitty walking around a 3D avatar in a space station talking to some women that's a Cylon.
Okay.
That's a bad sentence, but I don't know. Then you fly, it's like, you know, Eve Online.
You're a ship?
Web Eve. You're a ship and a Cylon. You're a ship and a
Are
robot.
Are you a Cylon?
Well, you can be. I went Cylon. They have this thing, like, they have this auto-balancing mechanism where, depending on what the current population makeup is, they give incentives for going. So it's like, you know, if you can be human or Cylon. If you make a Cylon, you start at level 3 and get 5,000 extra Cylon boners. That's what you pay for things with? Cylon
wow.
boners. Robo-boner.
Roboners?
Roboners. All right, well, so that was Twitter. We got some emails. Takanoko of TV Nihon says, a few weeks ago, Riff mentioned he was having problems with Fallout 3. I just happened to be playing the game the last few weeks, and I've gone through all the DLC. The slowdowns and crashes were pretty frustrating until I found out one could make them all go away by turning off autosaves.
By turning off the computer.
Turning off the game. The frustrating thing is that I didn't find this out on the Fallout 3 wiki page about bugs, but rather a bugs page for one of the DLC. Now the game works perfectly. Hope that helps.
Huh. I may have to try that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's not...
I didn't even know you could turn autosave off.
I never had a problem with Fallout 3 on the PC, and I played through it, and then a year or a year and a half later, I played through it again, and then played through all of the DLC, and it was just fucking great. I love that game. I love it. I love every bit of it. The Mothership Zeta expansion was kind of dumb, but it was fun. There were some monsters.
Were there some aliens?
There were aliens, yeah. I mean, the whole thing is about aliens.
Yeah.
You get to shoot a death ray at the world.
yeah, that was pretty cool. For yeah. as cool as Fallout and New Vegas were, it makes me all the more excited for kicking some wolves in the face.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, like, because I didn't like Oblivion very much, and I'm hoping that they've taken the lessons that they've learned by making Fallout 3 and made some pretty sweet
VATS combat
RPG. That there aren't just a bunch of fucking items that you can pick up but don't do anything.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. At least you know that everything in Fallout 3 had a purpose somewhere, sort of.
I mean, if nothing else, you could load it into your junk cannon.
That's true. You get that implant that you load into your junk.
to make a bunch of robot.
You put it into your batch. It's a batch processor.
Yeah, you install it into your junk, and now your junk is cannon.
One thing that I wish about Fallout New Vegas is that hardcore mode was like 10 times as hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wish that you
really
actually had to
hardcore.
Eat and drink and, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure that they just decided, well, this isn't fun, but like, let us be the judge of that, you know?
I mean, do you want like a slider of how hard you want it to be?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep. I want to eat a slider and say, how hard do you want it?
It depends on your batch process. I'm
young, dumb, and full of sliders. I've been watching Sliders, and boy, do I have a raging erection right now.
A raging roboner.
Were there any girls in Sliders? I don't even know.
I think there was one.
Okay. Was she hot?
I don't remember.
I mean, she must have been. She was on a television show.
Yeah.
There are some questions in some question forum threads on the forum thread that you can get to from videogameshotdog.com. I don't think that I've been keeping good track of where we got to in these.
You sure? You have a number written down.
Yeah, but it's inaccurate. RNG He Hate Me writes, as your game replay segment, you should really play Wasteland. Fuck Fallout. This is the real progenitor. Go drink some snake squeeze-ins, get some space herpes, kill Darwin, and explode some blood sausages. Maybe I've read this before.
I think I know I've commented on it before. I've tried to play Wasteland, but the interface and the way things looked, I just couldn't tell what was going on or how any of it worked or what I was supposed to do.
It's hard.
It's old and hard. It's old and hard, like a nursing home porn.
Like a lemon party?
Yes, it's old and hard like a lemon party. There you go. Perfect. Jarko writes, hey, Zach, are there any games at which you consider yourself good? Does anyone other than you consider you good at those games?
He's great at Rock Band. I mean,
I'm okay at Rock Band.
You can play most songs on Expert with the sword behind your back.
Yes. On when I'm playing the sword, I can play most songs on Expert. But I can't play the super hard songs on Expert. I can't play Dragon Fucker or whatever that one that people make the YouTube videos of is.
Okay. Yeah, but you've been like you're good at that game. You're good at that the rhythm of the game in the rhythm game.
I'm good at The Rhythm of the Night by Gloria Estefan.
That's true.
I can play that on any instrument. I'm terrible at drums on that game.
Which is weird. You would think that your other rhythm skills would carry over.
No. No. You only have to do one thing at a time when you're playing guitar. The strumming isn't real.
There's hammering on and off.
Nah, I don't do that.
Rabbit ears?
Yes. There's Big Ben. There's some windshield wiper. We should stop. We should
stop everything.
Yeah, let's cut this out. Kevin, how do people get a hold of us if they want to get a hold of us?
One easy way is through Twitter at VGHotDog. Another easy way is through Gmail at VGHotDog@gmail.com.
Are any of these ways hard and old?
They're all lemon parties.
You could leave a comment on my blog, which I may or may not notice. That would be a difficult way to get a hold of us.
You could send us snail mail, and I'm not going to give you the address.
You could guess where we live and just use a Skywriter.
Yep.
You could use a Lightwriter from that Warwick Davis, the short-lived Warwick Davis television show from the 80s, The Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
Hint, Southwest America.
Do you remember that show?
I don't think I ever watched it, but I remember seeing ads for it.
He was a guy that, he was like a toy maker.
Yeah.
And one of the toys that he made was this thing. It was a little box that you would use a joystick, and it would use a laser to write big glowing letters in midair.
Huh.
I really wanted one of those.
Huh.
I think it was called a Light Rider.
That's cool.
I might be thinking of Knight Rider.
Yeah, would you rather have that or a Knight Rider? Yeah.
I don't know. If I had my own Warwick Davis who could invent toys for me, versus a car that could talk and drive itself.
But do you get the semi? No, the semi is the cool thing.
Wasn't right? Knight Rider was Michael Landon. It wasn't the car, so...
Kit.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Michael Landon.
Wait, no, because it was...
Whoever it was. Wasn't it Michael Landon? Who was it?
Touched by a Knight Rider.
Yeah. Wasn't it David Hasselhoff?
David Hasselhoff, that's right. They look the same.
Highway to the Prairie.
They're basically the same guy.
I think the one of those that is still alive would probably beg to differ.
Yeah, but which one is it?
Okay, so do you think that Michael Landon worships Jesus as much as Germans worship David Hasselhoff?
Ooh.
Tough call.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, which is real? Could David Hasselhoff have a celebrity so intense that even he couldn't tolerate it? Celebrity's a thing you have, right?
One has celebrity.
Yes, there you go. Because it's about being celebrated.
It's an attribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like celerity.
Right. How fast
there are
you
people
move.
Who have celebrity because of their celerity. Yeah. Like
Flo-Jo.
Yeah. And sweet. Sweet wow. Coincidence there. Creepy. I think one of us owes the other a Coke.
Probably.
All right. Well, you can also you can send us something in the mail if you want to.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna fish out the address. Out of my
pocket.
There's
a P.O. box.
Yeah. All right. So, Video Games Hot Dog, P.O. Box, 41774, Mesa, Arizona, 85274. Send us a toy. Send us a video game. Send us a ping pong ball with a question written on it in blood.
Don't feel compelled to send us.
Send us questions, and we will read
them. Yeah, send us questions.
Bring our reader mail segment. Send us
a letter. Send us a nice handwritten letter. Nobody does that anymore.
You know, a question would probably fit on a postcard, and that would be totally adequate.
Question, yeah. You could probably mail us a business card.
You could, yeah.
You could probably start a business.
You could probably write a question on an onion.
Send us an envelope full of skee ball tickets.
Sure.
Roy from advicehotdog.com once mailed somebody. He wanted to. He got into mailing weird objects. He sent somebody a package inside a swim fin.
Huh.
Just put a stamp on it.
Hmm.
And yeah, an address. And I got there.
I don't know if the Postal Service enjoys or does not enjoy the crazy shit that people try to mail.
I'm sure that the guy whose job it is to fish bits of swim fins out of the machinery that's broken down doesn't enjoy it, but the person who's, like, ready to murder everyone because they hate their job so much, they're like, oh, finally, the sweet relief of novelty.
Yeah. And most of these ways of communicating with us, including a link to our forums, you can find on videogameshotdog.com.
That's our website.
.com.
This has been a fun show, Chad.
Thanks, Alex.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great week.
Good night.